Word of mouth. From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. In 1981, playwright, performer, and theater company director Carlisle Brown decided on a whim to take a trip to Africa.
I was living in a loft in Dumbo area in Brooklyn, and it had big walls, and I had a big map of Africa on the wall. And this one day, I went down to the mail, and I happened to open a letter that had a check in it right in front of the map. I took it as an omen, and I got on the telephone, and I bought me a round-trip ticket to Dakar, an open-ended ticket to Dakar.
That ticket launched a journey of self-discovery and an adventure that became the basis for a one-man show called The Fula from America, an African journey, which Carlisle Brown performs tonight at the Music Hall in Portsmouth. It is a rare opportunity to see an artist the New York Times called one of the more significant American playwrights. It's also a fundraising event for Portsmouth's African Burying Ground and will be followed by a candlelight procession to the site where the design for a memorial will be unveiled. Historical documents from as early as 1705 refer to the Portsmouth site as the Negro Burying Ground, where the remains of slaves and free blacks were interred. Many American slaves came from West Africa, where the nomadic Fulani, or Fula, roamed and tended their herds. Early in his pilgrimage, Carlisle Brown was mistaken for native Fulani.
I was going from Lavé to Conakry, in this Toyota truck, in a flatbed of this Toyota truck, and this guy across from me started talking to me, and which I discovered later was Fulani. I tried to explain to him I spoke English and that I was from America, and then this guy started berating me. I mean, he was obviously berating me. Someone who spoke English said that he accused me of being a Fulani who left his homeland and went to America and, denied his ancestry. So that was kind of pretty ironic. But it caught on. That just became my nickname, the Fula from America.
Well, obviously that wasn't quite your intent. What did you want to discover?
Well, I guess one of the conclusions from it is the motives for a journey are really just an excuse to take the journey, whether one realizes it or not, So I suppose if there was any sort of conscious motivation, that was to discover my African identity. But of course, I only discovered how American I was.
The Fula from America.
The Fula from America.
Tell us a little bit about the Fulani people, their traditions or distinctions.
Well, I don't know how much I know about it, but I mean, we talk about Africans just like we talk about Asians, and these things are totally misnomers because these involve like thousands of people who, except for the fact that they're black, have no relationship to each other whatsoever. I mean, they are really ethnically different and you might even say sort of racially different mm-hmm. from each other. Fulanis are pastoral people for the most part who seem to be pretty respected across mm-hmm. West Africa. And I believe they originate from the Sudan.
Many of these people were West African, where the slave trade really did have a huge hold. So probably many of the people who did come as slaves from Africa were Fulani. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I think that was very, possible in certain stages of the slave trade. I would venture to say that the slave trade was one of the first schools of American anthropology. I mean, people just didn't pick people at random like that. People on the Grain Coast, went to places like the Carolinas, the Sea Islands, to cultivate rice because Europeans didn't know anything to cultivate mm-hmm. rice. The ironwork that we see in New Orleans was, designed by, Yoruba from Nigeria, who had a long, long history of doing that kind of craftsman's work as blacksmiths and so forth. The diversity of Africans and Africans was a useful tool for the slave traders because they could put all these different people in the slave ships and, they wouldn't even be able to communicate to each other. So these people come over here, and for the means of social control, they're denied the practices of their former culture. However, we're culture makers. Spiders make webs, bees make honey, people make culture. And so, over time, these people resolve their cultural issues to create a culture, which of course is probably the most significant aspect of American culture.
Tell me more about that. You said earlier that you realized when you went to Africa how American you were. What does that mean?
First of all, I went there, you know, alone. I grew up an only child, so, you know, I was going to do the lone warrior thing. I was going to have, like, a real adventure. And from the first time I met somebody, I was never alone, mm-hmm. right? African hospitality is quite wonderful. The notion of aloneness, you know, is kind of a mystery to Africans. When, you know, the companions that I acquired, when I said I wanted to be alone, they didn't really understand that. I was in Gore, I was in Senegal, and I was hanging out with these, you know, Wolof brothers and sisters. And so I threw a hissy fit, you know, like Americans do, like, hey, look, leave me alone. I'm going to be alone. So, you know, they said, okay, you know. And then they sent this little boy to follow me, you know. You know, so those kinds of notions. In Dakar, his brother Basalu, he helped me arrange some transport. And they said they would be leaving in a little while. And I mean, it was 3 days before we left. But in 24 hours, by the time the sun was going down, I wanted my money back. Don't you people have any tickets? Where's the customer service? You know, like that. You know, there were things like that, which I guess is humorous, you know. And then there were, you know, there were a couple of times, or at least one time in particular, you know, crossing a border where, you know, these young child soldiers threw my stuff off this truck and told me to, you know, go down into this hut, you know. So I wasn't going down in no damn hut, you know? And, you know, for some reason, they just left me alone. The irony was, despite the entitlements of freedom and stuff, people actively denied me at home. When I went someplace else, they still existed in me, and, you know, I just wasn't going to give up my liberty without a fight.
We're speaking with Carlisle Brown. He wrote and will be performing The Fula from America, An African Journey, tonight at the Music Hall in Portsmouth. After all of these experiences and all of these places that you went, how do you pull that together for a performance and, you know, the tours around the country that goes to all sorts of places where people have different experiences?
The performance of Fula was just as irrational, you know, as the trip itself. I think the vast amount of discoveries about the trip I really made during the show in terms of having conversations with people who came to see the show.
Hmm.
It seemed to be a show that where people were always, you know, talking to me and conversingly telling me their stories, you know? People would say, oh, I really like the show, you know, yeah. And, oh, but by the way, I went to Kiev in Russia, and, you know, that's where my people are from, and I hated the food, and I couldn't speak the English, and everybody looked like my Aunt Myrtle. You know, everybody, you know, had the same story. I mean, you know, that surprised me. And then, of course, they were the Africans, you know, would always, you know, be ruining the punchline because, you know, you'd say something like, you know, well, where are the people going to sit? You know, and then, and you know, you resolve that somewhere else in the story. And the Africans are already laughing, uh-huh. you know, and just, I mean, one night, this Senegalese woman, she had brought a guy from Mali. She'd seen the show about four times in this run we did, and she brought a guy from Mali who spoke Wolof, and she translated the whole thing, you know, which, of course, as you know, is very African, you know what I mean? So, it's, you know, it was quite funny. But, you know, in my journey, I ended up in Sierra Leone when Shaka Stevens was the president mm-hmm. and when all the, you know, the problems
when it was starting
began,
to,
right,
to broil.
And unravel and, you know, again, I was able to get out of the country, I mean, get to the airport because, you know, the chief of police, you know, liked me. And so
because you were an American.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean?
Send lawyers, guns, and money.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I didn't ask for it, but I had this, by being an American, I had this sense of entitlement. Mm-hmm. It was a, you know, a ticket out of a bad situation.
I lived in New York City when they had first discovered during a building project, as these things often happen, the African American burial ground there.
Yes.
And it was so fascinating because, you know, New Yorkers, and I think here in New England, we have this kind of identity, this idea that we didn't participate in slavery in the same way. You know, we didn't oppress African people.
I'm sorry. I have to say that that's, you know, that's kind of, you know, the thing that's contradictory about slavery is if it didn't happen, as nefarious and terrible as it is, right? If it didn't happen, then all Americans, we would be, you know, if we look at the historic context, we would be speaking Spanish or French and have the GDP of Newfoundland. You know what I mean? I mean, it's how the roads got built. Not very long after the Revolutionary War, there was the War of 1812.
Right.
We fought the most powerful navy in the world, you know, the British, you know, building ships and, you know, with cannon and soldiers and, you know, and feeding them and all. Well, where'd that money come from? You know what I mean? It came from, you know, the agrarian products that were produced by slavery. You know, I think sometimes I think like a black woman is picking cotton in a field and she's got a quota, you know, of cotton pounds. Right. And you know, like what a ball of cotton weighs, you
don't
know.
Don't weigh much.
Don't weigh much. You know how hard that woman has to work? You know, nowadays they say black people are lazy. Yeah, right. If they were lazy, we wouldn't have the great benefits of what this sort of, you know, democracy means. So we like to deny it so, you know, that we can have like a nice clean state so we can wear the white hat, you know, and call ourselves the good guy. But it's complicated. You know, it's extremely complicated. And however, you know, the real story is much more interesting.
And it's everybody's history, I guess.
And it's everybody's history, exactly.
Carlisle Brown, what a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Carlisle Brown, performer, playwright, and artistic director of the Minneapolis-based Carlisle Brown & Company. He performs his one-man show, The Fula from America, An African Journey, tonight at the Music Hall in Portsmouth. After the performance, a candlelight procession will walk to Portsmouth's African Burying Ground for the unveiling of the design for a memorial park. A part of the proceeds from the show will benefit the memorial. You can find more on the show and the fascinating history of the burying ground site at wordofmouthradio.org. Now up next, an Afro-Brazilian martial art takes hold in the perennially preppy Martha's Vineyard. That's when Word of Mouth continues in just a moment.